Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. We will finalize our little thought upon the fourth man so that you will have an idea how that we can look on the scriptures to find a good and a scriptural foundation for who was appearing in the Old Testament. We know that since we spoke about it yesterday, that a certain person, he wrote almost everything that I said in writing. So therefore, you can also see it, not only hear it. When I was thinking about this last little session, we ended up talking about Abraham, who met the three angels, and where the scripture says there that one of them was the Lord Jehovah. That was taken from Genesis chapter 18. And then when we look at later on in chapter 19, we read about Lot, who was also a righteous man, as the scripture says. But he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he saw two men, and I'll read from chapter 19 in Genesis, verse 1 and 2. And the two angels came to Sodom at even. And Lot sat there in the gate of Sodom. And Lot saw them and rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, into your servant's home or house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night." Well, this is a reading from Genesis 19, from verse 1 and 2. Excuse me. Where we can see that Lot, he has probably seen a lot of people coming into Sodom and Gomorrah, and mourning, as well as Eve. But when those two comes in, there is something special about them that makes him bow and worship and are inviting them into his house. I don't think that Lot did that a lot in those days, because the men and the people in the city were evil. But here comes two that are very significant, different, and now he's inviting them right in. So yes, a spiritual man, even if he's not Abraham, he was still a righteous man. And he could differ between normal active men and spiritual angels. Of course, angels, sometimes they appear as angels and they even have wings. But sometimes they just appear as men. And they come walking in like any other man. Like in Brother Branham's life, he saw a man that was about 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, dressed in white. And he saw that man. And very often, Brother Branham saw this angelic being that was always watching over him, helping him, inspiring him. Sometimes in services, he said, "Now he's here, the Holy Spirit." Then he would say, "The angel is standing right beside me now." So when he spoke to some people, then they got a little nervous. They got nervous because there was a presence of God in their midst. And the angel of the Lord was standing right beside Brother Branham. And of course, Brother Branham, when he was using the gift that God anointed him with, God took his place and he took Brother Branham's mouth and used that earthly being to tell the secrets of the people's heart so that they could believe and be delivered from the problems they had when they came forth for prayer. So in Brother Branham's life, there was a man standing beside him, he never testified that it was actually Jesus the Christ that was standing before him. So even in the New Testament, Jesus is using angelic being in assistance, because we can read, let me see here, in Hebrews, yeah, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Here the scripture says, "But of which of the angels has he said at any time, 'Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" So, in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ ascended on high and left the disciples, he, from that time until now, he is a high priest standing in prayer, in intercession for the people that are going to inherit salvation. So Jesus Christ is sending out ministering spirits to do service for them that are going to inherit salvation. And I know in some places, even in Paul's writing in Acts chapter 9, when he sees the light coming on the way to Damascus, then he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." Well, I still don't believe that Jesus Christ is traveling around the globe to appear before just anyone who says they see Jesus. But they see an image of Jesus the Christ, because the angelic spirits, they are there to help and assist. Even in John's, the book of Revelation, we already mentioned about that, that when John fell down to worship him, we know that the book of Revelation is an inspiration of Jesus Christ. He is the one who is inspiring John to write those things in the book. And when he is assisted by this angelic being, it's almost like John, he don't see the difference between the angel and Jesus. So therefore, because of all the power that has been manifested before his eyes, he is now looking at the angel falling down to worship. And the angel says, "No, don't do that. Be aware of that, because I am not to be worshipped. There's only one that can be worshipped, and that is Jesus the Christ." So even the angelic beings that have the image of Christ, both in the Old and the New Testament, they don't claim to be worshipped as that. Even the disciples, I was asked by one brother, "Why is not Jesus Christ God?" Because even the disciples, they worshipped him. And then I was reminded of the scripture where Jesus was calming down the sea. He was asleep in the ship, and the disciples came and they said, "Don't you worry, we are going under." And then Jesus looked at them, he raised up, and he calmed us down. We just say, "Be still." And immediately the sea eased down, the wind stopped blowing. And when the disciples saw that, they bowed down and they worshipped him. But the significant thing about it was, they said, "Surely you are the Son of God." He didn't say, "You are God." So They knew the difference between God and the Son of God. All right, so Hebrews chapter 1 is a very good scripture to help us understand that when God is ordering or giving expressions or revelations, He can use ministering spirits, both in the Old and the New Testament. And of course, today, if you see the gifts of spirit, of the Spirit in operation, prophecies, miracles, whatever it is God taking control over the human being. So even an ordinary man or an ordinary sister, when the Spirit is in operation, it is God taking control over their lives, and they say exactly what the Lord tells them to say. And that is really what Brother Branham also did when he had his meetings. And you have a lot of tapes where he is speaking, telling them their names, their addresses, what they're suffering from. And then he's telling them everything until that in their hearts of the receiver, they understand this must be God. And when it comes to that point that they understand it is God in operation, there is where the spirit of sickness, demons, or whatever it is, are leaving because they cannot stay in that body anymore. God is on the scene to clean the little corpse so they can function in Christ again. So, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned now, through these four little devotions this week, the fourth man in the fire is not Jesus the Christ, but the fourth man is an angelic being who is an inspiration, and he is there in the place of God. God is using that vessel. Hey, he created all the angelic beings, and he sends them out to assist them. One time, there were both good and bad angels, and it was a separation, and Lucifer became the devil because he could not obey God. He just wanted to be a god himself. So therefore, he was placed as the evil force, and all the angelic beings that believed in Lucifer's way and habits, they took his party, and that became one third of the angelic world that was going to be a counterfeit and an opposition to the light and the truths that God is presenting. But praise God, two thirds of the angelic beings, led by Gabriel and Michael, they were obedient, and they became the assistant for God in every operation that is going to be done when it comes to the human soul, when they are going to repent and be servants of the Lord. So it's a good way to understand that for every devil that meets you and want to fight you, you have a double portion on your side, because one third is an evil angelic host, but two thirds are God's army, and they are there to help you out so that you can survive and overcome every evil thought or force that want to conquer you. Isn't that wonderful? So the fourth man is an angelic being. It was an angel for Abraham. Even it says Jehovah spoke to Abraham, and Jehovah spoke to Gideon, and many places in the Bible Jehovah spoke. But who was Jehovah? Whenever Jehovah was visible, he was using angelic powers for it. And Jesus Christ, well, he served the best for last. Because when we come to Bethlehem and the prophecies of Jeremiah, of Isaiah and Micah and all the others, when they started seeing a virgin giving birth, that I will call my son out of Egypt, as Hosea said, and you go to all, or Amos said, excuse me, and then all the other scriptures that will speak about bits and pieces of Jesus' ministry, all them things were prophetic inspirations seen by visions or dreams in the prophets, and they could foretell the story and life of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ never popped up and had any service or existence in the Old Testament era. God used the angelic powers for that. And then when Jesus came, he became the answer to all the prophecies that are written about him. So that when you read Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, as we mentioned about it, when the angel spoke to John and said, "Don't worship me," then he said, "Remember now, they who have the testimony of Jesus Christ," or the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So yes, Jesus Christ was in a spiritual form existent in the prophet's mind because they saw what was going to happen in Bethlehem. But you cannot put Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and say he was walking around, because Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. He was the first thing that God made in his mind, in his creation, because he would be the one to redeem the whole earth, the human race, back to God by his obedience. "I can do nothing of my own self," Jesus said. "Only what the Father shows me, I do likewise." My praise the Lord. And let me take the last little scripture in Corinthians. I like that scripture in Corinthians chapter 15. Let me see if I can look it up here. Yeah. I read from verse 20. "But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of dead, of the dead." As you see here, I stop quoting it. "If sin came by man, then, as it is written, the resurrection of the dead came by man. For as all die, as all in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, then they that are Christ at his coming." And then the final words. "Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death, for he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who did subject all things unto him." Praise the Lord. "And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all." So God the Father, the eternal spirit, who has no shape, no form, lives in a light that no one can come, and he is invisible. No one can see him. Hey, very simple. Jesus Christ could not see the Father because the Father is a spirit. He has no form. But Jesus has form. Creation has form. God is a spirit with no form. But when they said to Jesus, "Show us the Father," then Jesus said to me, "Don't you know me? if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That didn't mean you have seen my shape, my corpse, my body. No, you have seen the works that I do, because I do the works of the Father. And that is what is recognized in Jesus Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means God put the fullness of all the purposes that Jesus was going to fulfill to bring mankind back to God. And here is where Jesus Christ fulfilled the purpose. Fullness of the Father, that was the fullness of everything that was going to make mankind back in reconciliation with God, and you will be one with God. Hey, nobody's ever going to see the Father, God the Eternal Spirit, but we are all going to be filled with it. Hey, when you get born again, when you get filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, what is coming in you? It is the Spirit of God Almighty that puts a portion of himself in you so that you can be a representative son of God. You are not the Son of God, born without sin, because you and I, we will always be born and have sin inherited in us until the day cometh that we change and corruption is taken uncorruptive fashion. Then is when sin is put away. So I can hardly wait till that day comes when, as it says there, when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him, that all that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all. So Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom is going to be our elder brother. Eh? Jesus is not of a father, he is of a brother. So therefore, I pray that you will see that part and stop using Jesus Christ as the image of the Old Testament appearances when God is using angels. But put him in its right perspective. He came in Bethlehem, 30 years old. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, with the fullness of the Father. And now he became the voice speaking on behalf of the Father to all mankind in his life. And some people say, isn't Jesus divine? Yes, he's divine, because he has the divine purpose. But you cannot say that Jesus Christ is God the Father. God the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God bless you. Amen.